And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness. Sometimes I get a good feeling. The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome right around the country. It is the House of Wellness for your Sunday. 60 minutes of healthiness designed here to help you get well and stay well, live well and look fabulous as we do it. Going up the East Coast into Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, through to Adelaide and Perth as well, across the Nine Radio Network. And it's lovely to have your company. And I extend that welcome to you, Sally Obermater from The Daily Edition. Hello, Sal.
Hello. Hey, everybody, and happy Sunday to everyone.
Nice to be sharing the airwaves with our favourite pharmacist and medical herbalist to boot, Gerald Quigley. Hello.
Good morning, Ed, and lovely to see you, Sally.
Hello.
No matter where you're joining us from this morning, it's the one phone number, 131-873. We'll have the lines open to help you out. If you've got some confusion about your medication, aches or pains, or maybe wondering if there's another strategy to take for your diet to just boost your overall health, and we'll be here to take your calls across the course of the hour. All our callers going to wear, get themselves in the draw for that $100 gift voucher to go and spend at any Chemist Warehouse store. So give us a buzz. Remember the number, 131-873 right across Australia. Plenty to cover today. What are we featuring in our A to Z of vitamins?
Ed, we're going to be talking about the mature Australians today, and you're almost there. So we're going to be talking about energy.
35 is...
Oh, please.
We're going to be talking about energy produced at cellular level that does not require extra effort. Oh. So we're going to be talking about the ready-to-use form of coenzyme Q10 with a fancy name called ubiquinol. Great way to start the day.
And for our kids, and I speak for mine, who would happily just eat a hamburger for breakfast, lunch and dinner for the rest of their lives, there are other ways to boost their health. We'll have a look at that during the show.
Yeah, very important too. It's just that, you know, we just don't give our kids the fish that they should be having. And we've got Julie Seymour, who's an expert in children's nutrition. So it'll be good. And we can compare notes.
Yeah, the importance of omega-3s to be added to their diet.
They are so important, especially their growing bodies. You know, it's incredibly important that they get it. And as you say, because they don't love it and they don't ask for it and they tend to grumble when they get it, I think sometimes as parents we also... It's just too hard to have continual grumbling. So we kind of all also want to make it a bit easier for ourselves. So one of those things too, is, I guess, is working out how to cook it in a way that just makes it really delicious so that they do ask for it. That is also helpful.
Or how we hide it.
Well, or how we hide it, correct.
Omega-3s we're looking at today. It's linked to new research that shows it may improve brain function and also mood in our developing kids' brains, etc. So that's really good. Nice to know House of Wellness TV is back on the airwaves and on the screens today of Channel 7, and we'll chat with the lovely Joe Stanley about the first episode in which you make a cameo in the kitchen, am I right? You in the kitchen, Quigley.
Cool, GQ, what are you doing?
Look, I've just stepped up, Ed and Sally. I've been taking lessons from Sally. I know how to grate a carrot. It's going to be an exciting part of my television career. In how to just have the confidence to cook. And I'm looking at all the experts.
I love it.
Your wife will be watching
this. I'm very much on the fringe, though, I can tell you.
Laughing. Did you get an apron or something? Is it that official that you're in the kitchen? You got an apron?
Not yet.
He hasn't been promoted to a chef's hat just
yet. No, okay. Importantly, in our first segment today, and according to research just out, despite younger people who consume less alcohol, which is a great turn in the stats, our Aussies aged in the 49-plus bracket, up to 70, are increasingly drinking at risky levels, is what we're seeing. And when you combine that with taking regular medication, this can put them at risk of serious health complications and even death. And we're going to chat with Dr. Jordan Sandrell in just a sec. He's a GP from the SAN at the Sydney Adventist Hospital, and find out what those dangers are. What might a typical suite of medications be for someone, say, 65-plus, Gerald, that you've seen in your experience?
We're all living longer, Ed and Sally, and there tends to be... a bit of a predominance of multi-medications, which in fact, we've got to the stage now where there is even a phrase called de-prescribing. People are having their medications reviewed and in many cases withdrawn. I've got a whole I'm doing a lot of homework on this because this research report, which is headed up Alcohol and Medication, a Dangerous Cocktail for Older Australians, was based on 72 older adults discharged from a Victorian-based alcohol and other drugs treatment service. So these poor folk have got some issues anyway. And I'm just concerned that we mature Australians are being lumped into this and the finger pointed saying, right, you lot need to back off a little.
Mm. Now, there's often the small print saying don't operate, you know, machinery, etc. if you're taking this medication and such and such.
Yes.
What about alcohol with, say, vitamins and minerals that we might be prescribed? Is that okay, or are there some exceptions to this?
Continuing on my homework based on one of the things in this, I found three herbs, three only, where there potentially could be an issue. And I was fascinated by one case of a person using valerian who just happened to be swallowing 1.2 litres of alcohol every day for 2 years.
Wow.
And she had a problem. Hello, that's one person who obviously had a number of problems. So we need to get things into perspective.
Yeah.
Sometimes a person who drinks regularly does need to replace B vitamins, but there's obviously a fine line between having too much and actually having a glass of wine with your meal, which I think is a very important part of socially enjoying your meal. But maybe I'll be corrected by the expert.
All right. Are you flagging a small sample size in this report as a potential red flag?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, then. And that's as an equivocal affirmation as we can get from Mr. Quigley. Let's take a little break. Our first guest will help us delve into this a bit more deeply. Dr. Jordan Sandral, GP at the Fox Valley Medical Center, will join us after this here on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Send your love this Valentine's Day with Marc Jacobs' Daisy Dream. $79.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Now, if you want the biggest brands at the lowest prices, then head to Chemist Warehouse today. You can save on their big brand vitamins, which include Blackmore's Odorless Fish Oil, the 400 mini capsules at $26.99. Nature's Own Super B Complex, 75 tabs at just $15.99. You can get the BioGland Clinical Curcumin, the 60 tabs. Tablets are just $25.99, or try Microgenics Probiotic 35 billion. The 60 caps are just $18.99. So for great savings every day, come home to Chemist Warehouse.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Lovely to have your company as always. It's Ed Phillips here, flanked by Gerald Quigley and Sally Obermater this morning. We'll get to your calls soon. We're just chatting about this new research which has come out. It's seen drinking levels in younger people reducing, which is great. However, older Aussies are actually increasing their alcohol consumption. And this comes as some new research found that many of our older Aussies who consume alcohol are putting their health at serious risk when taking commonly prescribed medications. Now, this study, which is a small one, we'll admit, found that those drinking alcohol at hazardous levels, some 92% were also taking at least one medication that placed them in the high-risk category of serious adverse side effects. So we thought we'd delve a bit deeper. To find out more, we're joined by Dr. Jordan Sandral, who's a GP at the Fox Valley Medical Centre based at the SAN, the Sydney Adventist Hospital, and he's with us on the line. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Okay, I'm well, thank you. Well, let's, I guess, get some levels established here. What's considered to be hazardous drinking levels, as it states?
Well, the consumption of alcohol after about four standard drinks is the level at which we don't advise people to not go over. High hazardous drinking levels is the consumption after about 11 standard drinks, so it is quite a bit of a jump. But we know that people become impaired after about four standard drinks in any one sitting.
Jordan, Gerald Quigley here. I'm a pharmacist, and we're constantly involved in helping people understand that a lot of prescription medicines can, in fact, interact with alcohol. Could we take our responsibilities a lot more seriously by reinforcing that over and over and over again? Because you look at non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, you look at antihypertensives, they've all got those warning labels attached, but Do we reinforce that message enough?
I think that's a very good point, Gerald, that you're right. That message perhaps isn't reinforced quite clearly enough because, as you said, non-steroidals or other medications that are commonly prescribed, the gastroesophageal reflux disease medications, antihypertensives, are so commonly just delved out routinely without asking the question to the patient, you know, how is your alcohol consumption and is that within these safe limits? the interactions of these medications to patients is very individualised as well. You know, we understand that metabolism of alcohol is related to a person's size and weight and so forth, so there will be differences. So you're right, I think it does come down to then the individual pharmacist and the GP to be very vigilant about talking to patients about how that might be interacting for them specifically. But I agree, it's something that I think this study has highlighted, which is really good to see, and reinforcing that it's an area that needs addressing further.
Jordan, what sort of medications do you think older Australians are likely to be on? I guess if we can help pinpoint that, it might, for people at home, have them go, oh yeah, that's me.
Well, that's right. So in terms of what you mentioned, commonly prescribed medications such as high blood pressure medications, cholesterol medications and reflux disease, they're the top ones that are most commonly given out from the clinics. The ones that we particularly think about interacting perhaps aren't those. The ones that we think about interacting, we worry about, are sedative medications and painkillers. We know that alcohol suppresses our central nervous system, and we know that those medications such as painkillers or something along those lines may also then suppress that nervous system, so doubling up on that. But we also know that, for instance, alcohol will worsen symptoms of, say, reflux disease, and interact with medications such as a Nexium or another reflux tablet, for instance. So those things are something to think about there. Okay.
Jordan, can I rise to the defence of herbal medicines, which are actually included in this study as a warning? And I did a lot of reading yesterday afternoon and found a mere three, ginseng, kava and valerian, as possibly involved in this alcohol argument. Do we detract from the fact that the most common medicine that worries me is paracetamol? It's liver toxic on its own, yet we add alcohol to it. And I just wonder whether we treat paracetamol with the respect that it should have. What do you think?
I think that it's a very good point you make, and it comes back to that the idea of metabolism. We know that paracetamol regularly, as you mentioned, is metabolised by the liver. We know that alcohol is metabolised by the liver. We know that medications such as paracetamol are often said to be given a number of times a day and seen as fairly safe. But you're right in the sense that it's not given the street cred that it is, and many individuals and doctors in the country will know of patients who have damaged their liver over routine excessive use of paracetamol. The other thing is that people forget is that paracetamol is often in many combination medications as well.
That's right.
And it's often difficult to explain to patients that, perhaps you want to take a cold and flu tablet, well, I'll just take a bit of paracetamol with that as well. And we have to be very careful that a lot of those medications are doubling up in that respect.
So is the greatest issue when it comes to, I guess, the mixing of medication and alcohol that it makes the medication ineffective, or what are we referring to here?
No, that's very difficult to sort of pinpoint down, because some may make some medications more effective. So particularly a good example is medications such as blood-thinning medications that are treated for common conditions like atrial fibrillation, like warfarin, that many patients will be on. And many doctors know that warfarin needs to be monitored, and some patients will have what we call a labile warfarin measurement. And often that can be due to alcohol intoxication going up and down. So patients may have a little bit of alcohol that gets metabolized by similar pathways that those medications might be using for. And that might extend the strength of that medication. And it also can do this not just to warfarin, to other anti-inflammatories. So increasing a patient's potential bleeding risk is something that we commonly worry about. And then you combine that with something like a sedative, and you can understand it's a dangerous mix of alcohol, a sedative or a painkiller, and then being on a blood-thinning medication, having a patient that may have a fall and subsequent harm from that.
Yeah, wow.
Jordan, I'm continually staggered at the blasé attitude we have to alcohol, and perhaps it's the quality of life we're lucky enough to have here in Australia. But again, my plea is to anyone that has any medication with one of those warning labels which aren't put on for fun, is to actually understand that they're not there just because it's a requirement. They're there to protect. But more particularly, do we really understand what a unit of alcohol is? Are we complicating the issue when we talk about 5 units and 4 units and 10 units? How can we simplify that?
It's a very good question to be able to, and difficult task to simplify that, because they do. They'll say, and the guidelines will say, well, the recommended is one standard drink is 10 grams of alcohol. Well, I'd be blind if I could measure out 10 grams of alcohol.
Sure.
Let's get the kitchen scale about that. But I think you're spot on in the sense, and so the way I best explain it to patients is that a regular standard drink of alcohol that you would have at a bar or club is already more than one standard drink. So that's the way I sort of introduce my talk with patients. It's usually about 1.5 standard drinks already. So a midi strength of beer, for instance, is one standard drink, but most people won't drink a midi strength of beer, for instance. So that's a very difficult problem. And then in terms of quantifying risk, we do have sort of tools to help assess the amount of alcohol and visual representation. Mm-hmm. But my advice is that if you're having more than two glasses or two beers of bottle a day, that's already likely above the recommended daily intake.
Okay. All righty. There's plenty to discuss. We're learning that alcohol mixed with medications might either amplify or nullify their intended effects, and we need to really measure more consciously how much we are taking in on a daily or weekly basis. Appreciate the heads up, Doc. Nice to have you with us on the House of Wellness.
My pleasure.
Dr. Jordan Sandral there joining us. We'll get to some of your calls in just a sec. Your herbal hackles can settle for a little bit. They seem to be just about cleared in that discussion.
Yes, and I think I got my point across to Jordan, yes. But perhaps he and I can have a chat later on about this as well.
We'll come back with some of your calls. 131-873, all our callers going to air today. Get themselves in the draw to win a very timely and handy $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. We're back with the House of Wellness in just a sec.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Send your love this Valentine's Day with Marc Jacobs' Daisy Dream. $79.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
By the way, if you want the biggest brands at the lowest prices, then you should head to Chemist Warehouse and do it today. You can save on big brand vitamins like this array. Blackmore's Odorless Fish Oil, the 400 mini capsules, are just $26.99. Or a bottle of Nature's Own Super B Complex, 75 tablets, just $15.99. You can try the Bioglan Clinical Curcumin, 60 tablets, just $25.99. Or try Microgenics Probiotic, 35 billion strength, 60 capsules, are just $18.99. So for great savings every day, come home to Chemist Warehouse.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Our experts, Gerald Quigley and Sally Obermeider, are standing by for your calls, 131-873, anything health-related. We are happy to try our best to help you out to get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous. Cecily, we're coming to you first in Green Slopes in Queensland. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I hope you're feeling well, because I feel terrible.
Oh, sweetie, let's see if we can...
I'm very sick in the stomach.
Yes.
I've been diagnosed with reflux.
Yes.
And I've been told to take M-O-T-I-L-U-M.
Yes, Motilium, Cecily.
Before a meal. Mm-hmm. And then I've been given another tablet, which is supposed to last for 8 hours, to stick on my tongue. And it's M-Y-L-A-N...
Yes.
ODT, 4 milligrams.
Yes. It's not helping, Cecily?
So sick in the stomach.
Okay. Are you taking any medications that might be causing this, Cecily, or has this come out of the blue?
No, I've had it for a fair long while, and they finally did a lot of tests and said, no, it's the reflux is causing it.
It's reflux. Okay. And Sally will have some ideas of some much easier to digest food, Cecily. But look, in the meantime, you can get from the pharmacy a powder which is going to help that whole system of digestion. So food comes down, enzymes and acids get poured into your tummy, and that's obviously one of the things that's not quite functioning correctly. So if you pop to your pharmacy today and ask for one of the powders that contains things like slippery elm, which coats the inside of your tummy, there's quercetin, which actually settles the inflammation. Usually these have a small dose of a probiotic as well. And you can use those in combination with the Motilium and the anti-nauseant, but it's addressing more the underlying issue rather than just treating the symptoms. Sel, what could Cecily have across the day for easy digestion to take the load off her tummy?
What I would say is you need some sort of super green powder, because what's happening is any kind of acid, so we're talking about things like coffee, meats, just stress even, produces acid in your stomach, and then that helps then to basically, that's what causes the reflux and you get that awful feeling. So there's a couple of things. Generally, you want to try and have more green food. So you want to have more sort of leafy green vegetables. And because it's hard to kind of get enough for the body, which is why I'm saying go into your Chemist Warehouse and ask them for some sort of super green blend, because that way you're giving your body more greens. You want to try and get your body what we call alkaline, meaning it's not producing acid. That will make a big difference. So some sort of super green powder. Try and really limit your meat intake if you can, like try and sort of keep it to kind of once or twice a week, come up on the fish, come up on the green vegetables, come up on any kind of vegetarian meal. So, you know, lentils and beans and that kind of stuff, just to, even if it's until you can just help your body just get over this kind of intense period of acid production.
Good luck. And ginger as well.
Yes.
Cecily, ginger is a great way of settling nausea caused by poor gut function.
Yeah.
So many good recommendations luck there, Cecily. Thank you so much for your call. Jeff, let's come to you in Geelong this morning. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
G'day, Gerald. Jeff from Cats Country.
Oh, good work. Good work. How can we help you, Jeff?
I've got crystals on my knee that are absolutely driving me mad. I've been to hospital. I extracted some stuff out.
Yes.
I just need some medication to stop the blessed pain, please.
So are they saying it's gut-related, Jeff? What's the diagnosis?
Pseudo-gout.
Pseudo-gout. Okay. Now, the herb of choice, Jeff, is turmeric. How often do we talk about that? Water-soluble turmeric, which gets in there and reduces inflammation. And what that, and also, too, you've got to drink a lot more water. We're all guilty, Jeff, of just not drinking enough. So 2 to 3 litres of water a day, it's not difficult to do. And all that's doing is helping your kidneys do the filtration of the uric acid to get rid of those crystals. And that's the best you can do. Best protein, as Sal has mentioned a couple of times, fish, because it doesn't cause uric acid levels to rise to the same point, but not shellfish, though. So the beautiful mussels down from Port Arlington, no.
Oh, yeah.
You've just got to stick to simple fish meals, but focus on fish, Jeff.
No worries. Thanks, Gerald.
Good on you.
Good on you, Jeff.
Thanks for your call. Good luck to the Cats this year. They've had a good pre-season, I hear, because their season finished so early last year.
Thank you, Ed, but everybody has a great pre-season at this time of the year.
Let's go to Joan, who's in Box Hill. Good morning,
hello, Joan.
Yeah, good morning, Gerald. How are you?
Good, Joan. How can we help? Thanks.
I'm ringing up for my husband, actually, because he's away driving. Mm-hmm. He complains about a burning sensation in his heels at night. And he can't even stand the sheets on it. So I'm just wondering if you've got any ideas.
Well, I think you're going to have to probably drag him along to his GP, Joan. It could be plantar fasciitis caused by his foot. Is it his right foot that's causing this?
I think it's both feet.
Both feet, okay. Driving positions tend to put strain on your Achilles, and you get this plantar fasciitis, which is an inflammation of the plantar fascia, which is at the base of your foot, can be incredibly painful. It may even be, like Jeff, it could even be a gout that's starting to cause problems there. The herb of choice is, again, turmeric to reduce inflammation. You can really, he can get stuck into it. It's drug-free, so he can drive without an issue at all. But I think either visiting a podiatrist, which is probably the best port of call, and have his foot structure assessed, see what the issues are, but drag him along. Just when he says, no, it'll be right. If it's hurting to the point where he can't stand sheets on it, there is a problem.
Let's go to Cedric now in Liverpool. Hi, welcome to the House of Wellness. We are here to
Cedric.
Help you out.
Good morning.
Morning.
My trouble is arthritis. About 6 weeks ago, it started off in one finger. Now it's gone right through my body, shoulders, and arms, and my doctor prescribed a painkiller.
Do you remember which one, Cedric?
Bud?
Do you remember which one?
Yeah, Lyrica.
Lyrica, okay.
And then I went to Chemist Warehouse, and I got some... medication there from the chemist, and it is called BioGlam,
okay,
containing glucosamine, chondroitin, and then
yeah, some big
and
words,
turmeric, and turmeric.
Yep.
I'm on that for a couple of weeks, but it's nothing's happening as far as the pains and the joints go.
Yeah. Cedric, you reflect what's pretty common, that arthritis in inflammatory conditions starts in one joint somewhere, finger or thumb. It's often the thumb joint. And that's a reflection that other things are happening across your body. So, look, Lyrica is more for neuropathic or nerve pain, but you've mentioned glucosamine. Take that at the maximum dose, please, Cedric. And you can add extra turmeric. There it is again as an anti-inflammatory. But the big thing that'll make a difference to you, Sally will tell us about an anti-inflammatory diet. She mentioned it to an earlier caller to reduce acidity. And it's not all that hard, Cedric. So here we go.
Yeah. So, Cedric, what you want to try and do is reduce anything that creates acid, which creates inflammation. So you want to try and have less meat, less coffee if you can, less sugar. And you want to try and up the vegetables. You want to try and up the fish. You want to try and come into things like beans and legumes and lentils, that kind of stuff. Especially because you want to try and give your body a bit of a break. Do you think GQ, a joint-specific collagen, might also be helpful, you know?
Yes, that will help as well, Cedric, without giving you an armful of things to take.
Yeah.
But what Lyrica does is only addressing the symptomatic things that you're finding. If it's arthritis, through your body, you've got to take a holistic look at reducing the inflammation right across your body. And all of those suggestions from Sally, very simple to implement, but it's a bit of a change of thinking to what we blokes would normally say, let's have a steak and a few veg.
Yeah.
It's a little different and it will make a difference. Not tomorrow, but it will make a difference over the weeks.
That's important. All right, 131873 is our number if you've got any questions, aches, pains, ailments, confusion perhaps about some current medication. Our experts are here standing by. You can also reach us via our website, houseofwellness.com.au. There's an Ask tab on the top of the homepage there, which is a great way to get through to Gerald as well and seek some further clarification. Let's take a little break. Something else that's important in our diet, certainly for our kids' health, are our omega-3s. We'll discuss those next and their benefits when we come back on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Send your love this Valentine's Day with Marc Jacobs' Daisy Dream. $79.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
And if you want the biggest brands at the lowest prices, then march straight away to Chemist Warehouse. Do it today and you'll save on big brand vitamins, which include Blackmore's Odorless Fish Oil. There's the 400 mini capsules, just $26.99. Nature's Own Super B Complex, 75 tabs, will cost just $15.99. You can get the BioGlan Clinical Curcumin 60 tablets, only $25.99. Or try Microgenics. The probiotic 35 billion 60 capsules are $18.99. For great savings, and they are every day, come home to Chemist Warehouse.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Well, we know every parent wants to raise smart and healthy kids, don't we? But research suggests that omega-3 fatty acids are more than important. They may improve brain function and mood in children, in particular with their learning, with their memory and brain development. This is important, and to tell us more, we're joined by Julie Seamer, who is a naturopath and trainer for Nature's Way, to shed some light on this. Hi, Julie.
Good morning, Ed.
It's not new news, but tell us specifically why omega-3s are important for our kids' health.
Yeah, well, so we know that omega-3s are the good fats for our children. I think when I studied, I learnt it as omega-3s are generally from the sea, and omega-6 we get from the sticks. But they're the essential fatty acids. So these are vital for our bodies, but our body doesn't produce them, so we need to source them from our diet or in supplementation.
So when should we start, do you think, looking at omega-3 for kids? At what age?
Absolutely. So, it's so important. If we think about the level essential fatty acids in the umbilical cord at birth, this actually correlates with the speed of the child's thinking at age 8. So it's a bit of an insurance policy, really, when mums are pregnant, first of all, to be taking omega-3s, and then for us as parents to be really considering whether our children are getting these essential fats from a very early age. Mm.
Julie, do you think it's Gerald Quigley here? And it's great to talk to you. Is the need for essential fatty acids now more urgent than what it was, say, 20, 25 years ago? Do kids need the benefits of essential fatty acids more than in the past?
Yeah, great question, Gerald. Lovely. It's certainly important. Like, if we think of the brain and how it grows in the first 3 years, and this is a really good example for parents. You know, the rhinoceros is a one-ton beast, and its brain is only 35 grams, whereas a little baby weighs maybe 4 kilograms, and its total brain weight is 11% of its total body. So it's 300 times larger than the rhinoceros's brain. So we've always needed good fats in the brain. But exactly, nowadays we do have a lot of competing fats, so the children are eating bad fats in their diet. And there are other deficiencies that may be robbing really their body of those vital fats. So if we're deficient in vitamin B, C, zinc, magnesium, these are also really important. And look, 9 out of 10 children don't eat enough oily fish. We actually need them to be eating about 2 to 3 thirds a week.
Wow.
And if we think of it, yeah. So it's really difficult. And of course, then there's those other behavioural factors. So there are 3 different types of omega-3s, which we probably should explain to parents. So we have EPA, DHA, and ALA. Mm-hmm. So they're very tricky words, like eicosapentaenoic acid and docosahexaenoic acid. So we just call them EPA and DHA. But EPA, we know it's good for heart health and inflammation if we think of children with asthma and eczema and, you know, for us, stiff joints. The DHA is the brain food part of fish oil. You know, we talk about eating fish for our brains. It's really vital for brain development, you know, eye function, also heart health and inflammation, but it's vital for their brain development, for every stage of their brain development, actually. So we really, really need to be ensuring that our children are getting DHA in their diet, because we have found studies where it does impact memory, concentration, mood, their ability to focus, reading outcomes as well. Really important.
So interesting. Julie, for parents at home who are going, okay, great, this is important, I want to do this, what, I know we've said oily fish, but can you break it down and be really kind of specific? What kind of foods can parents give their kids that will make sure that they're getting these good fats?
Yeah, so the good fats, those omega-3s are in salmon, tuna, sardines, herring and mackerel, so those oily fish. And the ALA, which is another type of omega-3, and that it supports general essential fatty acids, status. That can be found in like things like flaxseed, chia seeds, hemp seeds, walnuts. So as a parent, I kind of crush them or hide them in my children's food. So that's a good way. But really, supplementation is a great way to help, because it's so difficult with compliance to get kids to eat these foods on a weekly basis.
And the supplementation, Julie, important to realise that just because you give an omega-3 supplement today, things won't change tomorrow, because it takes 3 or 4 months for the brain levels of essential fatty acids to change, doesn't it? It's a slow process.
That's right, Gerald. And look, children's needs change throughout age. We know that boys, especially teenage boys, have higher needs than girls. So we also have to keep that in mind. And for parents, if we notice that our children are excessively thirsty, if they are irritable, if they have dry skin, these are good signs to realise that perhaps we need to boost up.
Sure. Yep. Great.
That source. Yeah.
Terrific.
Fantastic, Julie. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome.
Julie Seymour there, naturopath and trainer for Nature's Way. I've been having trouble training my rhino, so I guess it's just because he's a small brain. It's not my reflection on me. Good to know. We will take a little break. The A to Z of Vitamins coming up shortly, and we'll check out what's on episode 1 for 2020 of House of Wellness TV. That's after this quick break.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Send your love this Valentine's Day with Marc Jacobs' Daisy Dream. $79.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
We love being here each Sunday morning for your healthy tune-up, and we love getting a little something for nothing. We can do that with one of our energy-making systems today, which we're looking at in the A to Z of Vitamins, Jill.
Ed, we are talking about ubiquinol. Now, this is energy in every single cell. Every single mitochondria has a little machine in there that produces energy. As we get older, that energy production seems to wax and wane. Mm-hmm. So if you're exercising or you're just feeling fatigue generally, it's a pretty good nutrient to look at. And the results tend to take just a few days. The classic I see more, we mentioned before, more and more Australians taking medications. Statins to reduce cholesterol have a very common side effect of muscular pain. You can offset that straight away by adding ubiquinol into your equation, and that works efficiently and easily. So it is. We all want more energy. Yeah. We all definitely don't want artificial energy, but we're helping our body produce it, and that is what ubiquinol does.
What a wonderful way to turbocharge your energy supplies across the day.
What it is, energy without extra effort.
Love it. You had me at extra for nothing.
You had me at shortcut.
And thanks to the A to Z of vitamins today, brought to us by Go Healthy, New Zealand's number one premium supplement brand, now available in Australia. Well, Joe Stanley is bringing back the House of Wellness to our TV screens today. First episode for 2020, and she joins us on the line for a preview. Hello, Joey.
Oh, good morning. It's so lovely to be back, isn't it?
Got the team with you today. What are we going to see on the show for episode number one?
Well, we have a wonderful conversation with our very own Gerald Quigley, of course, who brings us all the facts on the coronavirus, which I think is a really important conversation, so we're not too hysterical about it, yeah. I think.
Very important.
Wouldn't you say, Gerald?
Yes, I agree, Jo. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've also got a fantastic conversation with a psychologist about the transition from primary school to high school, which a lot of kids are going through at the moment, and it can be a really traumatic and very anxiety-inducing time, I think. Mm-hmm. We've got some great tips for back-to-school lunches, and we have a fantastic conversation with a couple of brilliant cardiologists who bring us the research that Australians are doing in the difference between heart health for men and women. Oh, that heart disease presents very differently for women, and they're doing some incredible research in Australia around that. It's fantastic.
I want to usher in a little thank you ahead of time too, because you check out some great ideas on what to feed the kids with their little lunch boxes.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right. We don't always have to reach for just the Vegemite sandwich, although that is all my daughter wants every single
Good
day.
Good on you, Willow. That's the way. Back to basics.
Mine wants white bread with honey, and he says, don't put butter on it. And I say, you've got to be kidding. I'll bargain with you. You'll at least get butter. It's just exhausting.
Yes.
All right, Joe.
It's lovely to be back, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Joe. Have a great day.
On the screens of Seven from midday today. Check your local guides right around the country as well. The House of Wellness TV, and you can follow up episodes and important segments too by checking out the website as well, houseofwellness.com.au. There's a TV tab. There's a recipe tab for some of Sal's wonderful recommendations, and the Ask tab too if you want to follow up with any of Gerald's advice as well. We have a few callers still standing by. Can't get to them with timing though, so if you want to follow up, just hit the Ask tab on our website and he'll be able to help you out. We did have some great calls today and some fabulous advice as well. We need to pick one highlight if we may.
Or every Sunday we have magnificent calls, Ed. The winner, Sally and Ed today, is Cedric from Liverpool, who had that arthritis that started in his finger and suddenly it's all over the place. So Cedric, you win the $100 Chemist Warehouse gift voucher. Congratulations.
As a matter of interest, he said he got it in just the one finger and within a couple of weeks felt it right around his body.
Yes.
That seems rather swift, or is that
it shows it's brewing underneath it, and that's why we need to take care of ourselves every day.
Alrighty, thank you all for your calls, appreciate those, and we'll have another $100 voucher up for grabs from Chemist Warehouse next Sunday when we reconvene with one lovely Sally Obermater.
See you then, happy Sunday.
One amazing master herbalist and pharmacist, Gerald Quigley.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Sally.
And thanks, enjoy guys. The rest of your weekend. Rain falling up much of the East Coast, which is a nice relief as well. Hope you enjoy your weekend off. We'll see you next Sunday for another edition of the House of Wellness.